What we're going to do is, first we're going to have Senators Walker and Metzger, and actually if you two would like to come up, now that'd be fine, have asked to have just a couple minutes with the committee. And then after that, we are going to take up a number of different amendments that have been proposed regarding the bill. And then, if time allows, we will dispose of the bill one way or another by the time we end today. I do want to say one thing before we get started on the amendments and such. You know, we addressed this whole bill, which was very complex, with a lot of different stakeholders involved, in a little bit different way by not appointing a work group and by having folks submit their ideas about the bill throughout the last month, and then continually did drafts through LC to accommodate the ones that we could. And the hopes that was that we could do that without ending up at this point in the process with 50 or 60 amendments, which looked like it was likely. And seeing of all the submissions that came in over the last month, I think that would have been likely. We've ended up today with a total of 14 different amendments, and so I think the process in that respect proved very well and will help us at least get through this hearing in a timely way today. So for everybody that was working throughout the last month, thank you very much for that kind of cooperation. Senators, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to lead off here. Senator Vicki Walker from District 7, Eugene Junction City. And I have appreciated you keeping me abreast of what's been going on in the committee. We've had pretty frequent meetings. As you know, I was chair of the Interim Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Alternative Energy, so we did explore a number of these issues. Senator Metzger and I are here about a couple of things. I'll let him discuss the issue as it relates to Senate Bill 408. We have a representative from the PUC here, and when I speak of Senate Bill 408, that's the bill from last legislative session, not this session. Mr. Chair, I just simply want to commend you on a job well done. I am so impressed with the work this committee has done. As I have indicated in this committee before, I served for 18 months on the Western Governors Association Clean and Diversified Energy Advisory Committee. That committee had three goals. Number one was to develop an additional 30,000 megawatts of clean energy by 2015 from both traditional and renewable resources, achieve a 20% increase in energy efficiency by 2020, and ensure a reliable and secure transmission grid for the next 25 years. This is a regional issue for the Western Governors Association because we must become energy independent. There were a number of suggestions about how to beef up the renewable portfolio standard within this document. We have met many of them, I'm excited to say. I'm really quite pleased that you have given a little bit of room on the hydro issue. As I mentioned earlier today when I was talking with someone, there are micro hydro issues. We had testimony in my interim committee from Katie Fast from the Farm Bureau about one such project that was on an 800-acre farm, Crown Hill Farm, and it was a $150,000 investment, 1.5 years in the permitting, and 15 agencies were responsible for oversight. Now they're up to 21. I think the objective here is to try to reduce that. But these are indications of what we can do with hydro, but still go forward and move on renewable sources. So I'm just want to tell you how much I am impressed with the work of this committee and what this legislature has been able to do. Senator Metzger and I discussed a potential issue that we had this morning. We believe that's been resolved, and that's why we brought the PUC, a representative of the PUC, with us, and I'll turn it over to Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just briefly, Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. Also want to commend the committee for all the hard work. I know Senator Walker and I both know, and some of the members of the committee, Senator Atkinson, served last year anytime we deal with energy issues. They're very complex. So I commend you for any issue of this magnitude for the great work that you've done, and very, very supportive of your legislation. The only question that we had is in Senate Bill 408 last year, it was very, very explicit that utility companies were not to be penalized from a tax credit standpoint for their investment in alternative energy. And I think you've been true to that in this bill. But there was some question, particularly in the, I know we're up to dash 14, but at that point it was section 13, and it may still be section 13. Just to clarify that in the automatic adjustment clause for the renewable portfolio in this bill, that it has no material impact on any of the calculations that have been implemented under Senate Bill 408. And would just ask Mr. Chair, with the PUC with us here at the dais, to go on the record on that particular issue. And with that, I would appreciate that.
And I would be pleased to have you do that. Just please keep it very narrow to that specific issue, and then we'll get you out.
Chair Vakian, members of the committee, my name is Lee Sparling. I'm director of the utility program at the Public Utility Commission. We've taken a look at this provision on cost recovery specifically to see whether there's any possible interference with the operation of Senate Bill 408. We don't believe there is. The automatic adjustment clause that's described in that provision is simply a different way of establishing new rates. Once rates are established, we still have the provisions of Senate Bill 408 that say that taxes collected through rates by whatever means, whatever type of a rate proceeding that established them, those are to be trued up against taxes paid. That will still occur even if the rates under this provision are established through an automatic adjustment clause. One other thing to note about this automatic adjustment clause is that the name's a little bit of a misnomer. It's automatic only in the sense that the commission does not need to have a hearing to establish these rates, and furthermore, the commission can simply focus on the costs of the renewable resources at issue here, as opposed to having to have a general rate case at which it looks at all the costs associated with it. The commission, through this automatic adjustment clause, is still going to be trying to ensure that the only costs that are passed through are prudently incurred costs. There will be opportunity for parties to comment on that, and the commission will take that into account when it decides how much of the cost requested will be passed through the automatic adjustment clause.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Senators,
Chair.
Thank you very much for your work on the issue over the last year as well. Help get us to where we are.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I see this as an economic development issue, an environmental issue, and an energy independent issue. So thank you very much.
Okay. With that, we have a series of amendments to take up, and Senator Beyer, we will start with you if you are ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will start with the DAS 3 amendments. I know that there's Senator Ferrioli has offered, I believe, the DAS 1 amendments, and I was under the impression he's going to come down and describe those. If he doesn't come in by the time I'm done, I will do my best to describe and get to talk about those two. The DAS 3 amendments, while it is a very long amendment, as most of them are, the DAS 3 amendments simply under the DAS, whatever the original bill was, that amendment, there's a prohibition in that for renewable power coming from outside of the United States. The DAS 3 amendments simply remove that prohibition and allow for renewable power, for our power companies to be able to get renewable power from outside of the United States. So, Mr. Chair, if you're ready for on motions, I would move the DAS 3 amendments in Senate Bill 838.
Senator Beyer moves the DAS 3 amendments. Committee, is there any discussion?
I'd just like to make one more comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the indulgence. Colleagues, Canada, which is our one of our largest trading partners, is doing a lot right now on renewable energies. And I don't think it's appropriate for us to discount what they're doing. Renewable is renewable, and fossil fuel friendly is fossil fuel friendly, whether it's happening in Oregon, Washington, or in Canada, British Columbia, would likely where this power would come from. So to me, it's a simple amendment, and I would urge an aye vote.
Seeing nothing else, the way we'll do this instead of doing a roll call is we'll just do it by objection, help us move a little bit quicker. Seeing no further discussion, are there any objections? The chair objects.
Krasinski objects.
Krasinski objects. Bates objects. And so ordered on the dash threes. I see Senator Ferrioli has joined us. If you want to go to the dash ones next.
At your discretion, Mr. Chair.
You want to move?
Then we'll Mr. Chair, I would move the dash one amendments in the Senate Bill
8:38,
and I would request that Senator Farioli come forward and explain them to us.
The dash ones are moved, and Senator, if you'd like to take the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State Senator Ted Farioli, District 30. In support of the dash one amendments, as I have mentioned before, I believe that what our objective here is to increase the opportunity for creating sustainable and renewable energy. And I believe that leaving some of the early adopters of this technology stranded will essentially be headed in the wrong direction by some 50 or so, about 56 megawatts, because that is the number of the facilities that end up being left on the wrong side of the cutoff date. And if we allow the cutoff date to essentially be removed from this bill, it doesn't penalize anybody who's an early adopter of the technology to create cogeneration based on wood waste or biomass or any of the other solid organic wood products that could be burned to create energy. It's a thing that's, I think, time-honored in the state of Oregon. It's created a lot of kilowatt hours for people at very low cost, and it's allowed us to utilize what otherwise might be wasted. And that is with the understanding that these facilities have to comply with clean air standards and all the other environmental regulations that would be imposed. So, Mr. Chairman, I would urge favorable consideration of dash one amendments.
Thank you, Senator. Committee, any discussion? Seeing none, the dash ones have been moved. Are there any objections? The chair objects.
Bates objects.
Persansky objects.
The motion therefore fails. I should clarify, too, with respect to the dash threes, when I so ordered them a moment ago, that was with respect to the motion failing. I didn't clarify that with respect to the dash threes.
And Mr. Chairman,
thank you,
for
Senator.
The opportunity.
Thank you. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to skip over the dash four amendments. They have been replaced by the dash nine, so I will speak to the dash five amendments. Well, I guess I'll start with moving the dash five amendments into Senate Bill 838. Okay.
Which ones did you move?
I moved the dash fives, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
The dash fives?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Beyer moves the dash fives. Discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dash fives, colleagues, simply, I guess, in somewhat on the same version as dash ones, the dash fives include hydropower, all hydropower, as renewable. It removes the 1995 date that's set in the bill, as the amended bill we're working on, but it also increases the renewable portfolio requirement to 65%. And I believe that's appropriate. Two reasons why. First, and Mr. Greeny can clarify, but in one of our first hearings, I asked the question, what percentage of, or what is our breakdown of power in the state currently? And he testified that it is 10%, what he calls renewable under this bill as drafted. It is 40% hydro, 40% coal, and about 10% natural gas. And if those numbers are incorrect, I'd like to be corrected now. But that was his testimony at the first hearing.
Mr. Grandy, why don't you take the table and we can clarify if need be.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mike Grandy from Department of Energy. The only correction would be it's 40% coal, 40% hydro, 10% natural gas, and 10% everything else, which includes some renewable. The renewable portion is probably between 5% and 6% currently.
Thank you for that correction, Mr. Chair. And with that, this amendment actually increases the percentage of the standard a little higher than what the bill at going to 25% would do, because this would say that 65% of our power would be renewable, including hydro. And so that would be an increase of somewhere around 15 to 20% increase over what we currently have today, which is the same as the bill as drafted. is anticipating. The difference is, though, it doesn't penalize people for what they've done in the past. And as Senator Farrelly just spoke to, the people who have what otherwise would be considered renewable by this bill, but it just doesn't meet a specific target date. And that is what the Dash 5s do, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you entertaining them and have answered any questions if anybody has any.
I always knew you had it in your heart to get that percentage to the highest one in the nation any way we could.
Just trying to be honest. I thought you would like to have a higher percentage.
Committee, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I join Senator Beyer. I think that if this discussion would have started from this platform, it probably would have been even the better piece of public policy, simply because we have hydro in our part of the country that no one else does have. And so if you look and you compare RPSs that are going on in states that don't have hydro, namely that I'm familiar with, New Jersey, New Hampshire, I believe, Missouri, their RPS laws are looking for anything that we take for granted in our state. So I think that is probably a better piece of the pie, but it's starting. I wish that was at the beginning of the process rather than as a Dash 5 amendment, but I think it's I'll support it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anything further?
Mr. Chair, I'd echo what Senator Atkinson said. I think if we had started this conversation a long time ago, I'd feel much more comfortable. The train's kind of leaving the station here, and I'm going to unfortunately not be able to support the amendment. But I do appreciate the thought behind it, the idea we're trying to go to as high a renewable center as we can, and I appreciate the discussion. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pozanski.
I'd also echo what I've heard. It is kind of late, but I think also knowing that we will have an opportunity to review this through the upcoming interim period, that will maybe give a little bit more time for food for thought, and maybe at that time the amendment that's before us now will have a better opportunity to be fully briefed and vetted and discussed, and maybe all alternatives can be reached during the interim period.
Very good. With that, the Dash 5s are before us. Are there any objections? The chair objects.
I unfortunately have to object, but I think it's still something we should talk about in the interim as it's been discussed.
I also will object at this time based on my statements that were made during the discussion on this amendment.
Very good. Mr. Graney, why don't you just stay there, because when we get to the Dash 10s, I'm going to want you to give us a little explanation on the Dash 10s. Do you have those?
Yes, sir.
All right. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm assuming you haven't banged the hammer yet, so the vote's closed on the last ones, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, colleagues, I would move the Dash 6 amendments into SB 838.
Sorry, Senator Atkinson was talking to me. I didn't hear which Dash you were on.
He's pretty annoying at times.
Thank you. Dash 6. Senator Beyer moves Dash 6 amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was hoping not to have to get to this amendment, because if we'd adopted the last amendment, this one would have gone away. Mr. Chair and colleagues,
you were close.
This amendment talks about it in a different way. And what this amendment does is says, again, let's not penalize what has already happened in the state on renewable energy. Define it how you wish. But let's talk about what we're going to do from this point in time forward. And I'm frantically searching for the blank in this document, Mr. Chair. There it is. It's on page 9. And what this says is that by calendar 2025, at least a certain percentage of Oregon's average growth load of electricity used will be a renewable. That is all it does, is it doesn't change any definitions of renewables up until this time, but it says rather than focus on the total percentage of use, what percentage of new power need will be renewable. Mr. Chair, I would leave it, if the committee would see fit to adopt this amendment, I would love to have a discussion of what that percentage should be. I would anticipate it to be a very high percentage, 75% maybe, I don't know. But to say that the future that we want to look at is renewable, well, let's not penalize what we've done in the past, because we have, as we've already discussed, approximately 50% of our load is already in a renewable category. let's not penalize that. Let's look at the future and say, you know, and like I said, we'll leave the committee to decide what that percentage should be, but it should be a very high percentage number in that category. That's what this amendment does. Nothing else that I know of, and if there is something else in it, again, like all these, I'd be happy to be corrected by legislative council, but that's what I asked it to do. Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Committee?
Well, I'll make a quick comment, and it's a comment that applies not only to this amendment, but also to the last one. And that is that I believe that within three sessions, this bill is going to be obsolete anyway. No matter what we do, government can't keep pace with the market, and we're already seeing standards change by whatever they have as natural resources in other states. And so this is, again, I think this is I'm going to support this amendment too, but I'm also in the strong belief that the bill will be obsolete in about 3 years, or three sessions, 6 years.
Dash sixes are before us then. Are there any objections? The chair objects.
Brzezinski objects.
Page objects.
The motion fails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on to the dash seven amendments. I would move the dash 7 amendments into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Beyer moves dash 7 amendments. Discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dash 7 amendments are to clarify what I would consider a somewhat confusing language in the bill as drafted. The bill speaks in Section 12 to a cost cap on the price of the cost of renewable energy, and what that will do potentially to the rates of power. And this amendment attempts to go out that in a different route. Instead of a cost cap for the purchase of the renewable power, it is a rate cap, Mr. Chair. And it says that the cost of satisfying the requirements of this legislation will not increase rate to ratepayers by more than 4%. And included in that 4% would be any increases in the public purpose charge portion that goes to renewable power. So if the public purpose charge was to go up by 1%, then the rate cap or the rates could only go up by 3%. So it would be a total rate cap of 4% for renewable powers. Mr. Chair, happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, one of the things that seemed important to me in the testimony that we had relative to a cost cap was that the best way to protect the consumers from an eventual rate increase, if that were to occur, would be to catch it at the point that the costs start increasing within the utility company itself. And so that the use of a cost cap as opposed to the end result of a rate cap, which would relate to a rate increase, you know, would allow us to know when you were headed in that direction, and that a company who, you know, increased to 4% in their costs before that result was experienced by the consumers would then be exempted. And there would be a certain amount of lag time there when you would be able to protect the consumers from the eventual rate increase. And that, you know, that testimony seemed to make sense to me as the best possible way of protecting consumers from eventual rate increases. Which would be my reason for the objection to the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and I hope that's what the cost cap does, but as was testified by, I think, both the PUC and the consumers, is no one's quite sure how that cost cap is going to work. And as the cost cap increases, the testimony was it could be as high as 8% before it actually kicks in because of the compounding nature of it. And I think that was the problem is no one's for sure. I mean, I recognize that's your goal and that was your hope that you'd be able to stem off some rate increases, but I don't think the user groups have that same comfort level in what a cost cap does versus they would know what a rate cap does.
Well, one thing we certainly have in common is we don't want to see consumers experience any significant rate increase. And in the next 2 years and 4 years, as we monitor this thing, if that ends up being the result, then we're going to need to revisit for sure. Anything further, committee? Any objections to the dash sevens? The chair objects.
Bates objects.
Brzezinski objects.
The motion fails. Senator Beyer?
Mr. Chair, the dash eights, I don't know exactly what those are. Those were not requested by me, so I will move on to the dash nine amendments. So I would move the dash nine amendments into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Beyer moves dash nine. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, the dash nine amendments deals with a residential solid waste burner, I think is what it's known as, in the Brooks area specifically. There is a energy burner or energy plant there that burns garbage from Marion County. And it is not included in the definition of a renewable. In fact, under the current bill, it is specifically excluded for any municipal garbage burning. Is it municipal solid waste, as that's known as? Okay. This bill would bring back, I believe the number is 85% of the power, 85% of the electricity generated from the burning of municipal solid waste could be counted as renewable. I guess from my perspective, Mr. Chair, you can't get much more renewable than burning garbage, because we aren't going to quit making garbage, as far as I know. If we do, a lot of us have a lot less to worry about. So to me, it's a fairness issue again. This is a renewable energy. It's a very clean energy, and it should be included in the definition.
Committee, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I wholeheartedly support this, and I really, I know the train's moving here, but I hope the House has a crack at this, simply because not only is this a big investment into Oregon, and certainly it's a big investment just up the highway, but this technology is far from being obsolete. In fact, this technology is being picked up and strengthened and changed and further developed around the country. So I would hate for us to pass an RPS that doesn't allow for new technology that's not perhaps politically correct as burning trash sounds. Municipal waste is a new technology that we should be adding to the bill.
Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, I asked DEQ to give me an evaluation of this issue because I was particularly interested in it. And it's a complex issue, and I believe it should be a standalone bill, and that discussion should be occurring around that. The question is whether or not this is the best way to take care of waste. And the problem is that some of the stuff that goes in the waste to be incinerated is potentially recyclable, and that recycling would save energy and would save incineration. On the other hand, incineration has been shown to be slightly less polluting as far as greenhouse gases are concerned than landfills. And it's a complex issue and one that really does need to be discussed. But I think it should be done separate from this bill. That's one we should look at. I would like to see this come back as a separate bill for discussion if we have time in this session. I think there's some value to both sides of the argument, but that is not an argument I think should occur at this moment. It's complex and will take some effort.
Well, and I don't disagree with any of the comments that have been made regarding the need to keep looking at this. This has been one of the provisions that the various groups that have been out there working the bill have spent the most time on. And I think at some point it does warrant more discussion. I would agree with Senator Bates. I don't think with respect to this bill, but certainly in the future. Senator Brzezinski.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the chair is taking, I guess, notes based on what we're saying today, because my hope is that many of these areas that are coming in, these are like many of the amendments I've not seen until today as to being in hearing what they are. Seems to me that it would be advantageous for our committee to be recommending for the interim a work group task force or whatever it may be called, or continuation of this committee during the interim to take up some of these issues that can be again, vet it on a more deliberate process and determining what and if any should be moved forward into our renewable package as we continue to expand it into the future to best serve Oregon.
Very good, then. The dash nines are before us.
Mr. Chair, I guess a final comment. Appreciate the comments the committee has made. I'd just like to, I guess, argue that it should be part of this package, and it should be part of this package because if you look at the alternative, look at what the Portland metro area is doing with their solid waste. It's being trucked up the gorge to Arlington. So not only do you have the issue of the waste itself, the waste stream, the landfill, which, you know, in Arlington, I will admit, a landfill is economic development in Arlington. I would not want to take that away from them. But if you want to look at the greenhouse gases that are created by the trucks running up and down the freeway to move the garbage up there, in addition to the methane gas given off by the landfill itself, if Marion County did not have this facility, one of the cleanest burning facilities in the state, or probably in the nation, on this issue, their garbage would probably also be going up the freeway to Arlington. Look at the alternatives to what, I mean, if we're trying to control greenhouse gases, this amendment would go a long ways to help control greenhouse gases, Mr. Chair and colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. The Dash 9s are before us. Objections? The chair objects.
Brzozinski objects.
And I'll object with a proviso that this looks at very carefully. Interim. I mean, Senator Byers has made a good point here, and I support my point, but I need to know what the recycling potential for this is, too, in the overall picture. So I will object to the Dash 9s, but not from the point of view that we should drop this. This needs to be followed up.
And the motion fails. Senator Beyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dash 11 amendments, I would move into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Beyer moves Dash 11s. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, the Dash 11s is it's a standalone provision, and I can best, and hopefully you all have the description in front of you from Dave Hendricks of Legislative Council. These amendments were drafted at the request of Senator Whitsitt. And I honestly don't know as much about them as I probably should, and I wish he was here to this discussion. But currently, the net metering issue is that you've got people like an irrigation district. They may install a small facility hydro generator in one point, and where they get credit for the power generated there. And another place, they've got their pumps that are pumping the electricity or pumping the water using electricity, and the net metering would allow the offset between those two meters. So it's not that a single meter runs both directions, but it's separate meters in separate places for the same group. So that is what I think this amendment does. And if Dave Hendricks is here, he is here. If you would like, he can maybe give us a little more insight. As I said, I am not the most knowledgeable person in this area.
Mr. Chair, as Mr. Hendricks is sitting down, I'd also like for explanation, because the summary talks about the use of animal byproduct scraps and carcasses being used in a means of generating power that would be netted back into the system.
Chair Avakian, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Legislative Council's office. Senator Byerson did a pretty good job of describing the net metering system. It's basically, you know, self-generators out there who buy electricity from power companies and are allowed to set up a meter that basically nets out their generation against their bill, monthly bill for electricity. And they can even have a generating facility that generates more than they use and consequently not only reduces their bill, but it can actually result in payment back to them. And so these are generally very small operations. I think the limit is, I think it's 25 megawatts generation from the facility. The amendments that I was asked to do would expand the types of generating capacity generators that could be used to operate a net metering one, and one of the thing that was added was the use of animal byproducts. So that is not currently, there's a listing in the statute now of the types of energy sources you can use for these, and that would expand it to cover those items. The other thing that it does, the current statute really doesn't tell you very much about what arrangement is reached between the utility and the customer about prices, et cetera. And I don't pretend to be an expert on this at all. But the amendments would make it clear that the utility would be required to buy up to 20 watt-hours of electricity at the utility's current average retail cost for electricity. So in other words, utility goes out, looks at what their average cost for electricity. They have to buy the electricity at that cost from the self-generator. So if that's helpful.
Committee, anything further? Then the dash, thank you, Mr. Hendricks. The dash 11s are before us then. Any objections? The chair objects.
Przonski objects.
I'll object.
Then the motion fails. Senator Byer, do you have any other motions?
Mr. Chair, I would like to the committee to entertain the dash 13 amendments also. So I would move the dash 13 amendments into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Byer moves the dash 13 amendments. Senator Byer?
Mr. Chair, I would appreciate the committee's indulgence to have either Mark Nelson or Greg Miller come forward and identify what exactly is in these amendments.
Before we do that, let me interrupt for just a minute. Could you give me an estimate on how long you think that will take, only because I know Senator Bates has a pending appointment that I'm keeping him from that is critical.
5 minutes. We have 5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson, representing industrial customers of Northwest Utilities. We have met with many of you regarding these concepts, and the chair has indulged us many times in terms of going through our process. I'd like to just touch on a few of the elements that are in dash 13. We've had a long discussion about goals and targets versus mandates. We have, in this draft, moved to mandates, as I've explained to several of you, I think, even today. But mandates for us also means you have to have an effective off-ramp. And as we've explained to many of you, that our concern is at some point down the road that costs will increase to such a point that it will have an adverse effect on businesses throughout Oregon, including many of our members. We have inserted in this particular provision that establishes a standard of material adverse impact. If customers or the utilities find that the proposed project to purchase or to build renewables has a material adverse impact on customers or utilities, they may petition the PUC to hold a hearing on that issue. And if it's determined that there is a material adverse impact on customers or utilities, then the PUC could order the particular purchase or building or a modification of the purchase and building of the renewable. We think that gives one very strong off-ramp. The other issue that I'll speak to, Mr. Chairman, is the issue of the automatic adjustment clause. We strongly object to the automatic adjustment clause. This allows utilities to pass through all costs, which now they must go through a rate case. And it includes all costs we're dealing with renewables, including transmission. It also, in our mind, includes anything down the road in which to match the, let's say, wind power that's only blowing at 33% of the time, some other thermal part will have to be produced. We believe that this belongs in a rate case and for customers to have the opportunity to respond to that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For the record, Greg Miller, Warehouse Republic Affairs. I want to speak to an additional off-ramp. We've talked a lot about the 4% cost cap. Frankly, we think we've got a better opportunity for a much improved cost cap. We would call it a no-rate impact to any class above 1%. We think that that in on top of that, that they ought not to be able to that the utilities ought not to be required to acquire renewable resource at a cost greater than 110% of the alternative resource. We think in combination, in tandem, of adverse material effect opportunity and this particular mousetrap for rate cap. That would provide us with enough assurance as we go down this road for mandates for renewables that we could tolerate. I would only call to your attention, just to deviate just a bit, the newspaper article last week from the Oregonian, cost of renewable energy bill unknown for Oregon ratepayers. That's our chief concern. I know we've raised this before. It is unknowable in the short term. We do expect these prices to go up, the costs to go up, and short term for us equates to maybe one to a 5-year horizon, and we can't afford to be unsure about this public policy that we're about to advance. The third issue that I'd raise is we've talked about this before among the committee members, and that is the question around how you define biomass. We think in our dash set of amendments here, -13s, that we've got a definition that is very inclusive, as opposed to the definition we've seen, which was just very exclusive in terms of how it's applied. So from that, I'll close my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, both of you. Committee, any other discussion on the -13s? Seeing none, then, the -13s are before us. The chair objects. Any other objections?
I object.
Brzozowski objects.
Motion fails. We have two more amendments before us, the -10s and the -14s. Before I move to those, I just want to make sure, are there any other amendments from the committee? Seeing none, Mr. Graney, could you just very quickly run down Senator Brzozowski, would you give me a motion on the -10s?
Mr. Chair, I move the -10s into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Brzozowski moves the -10s. Mr. Graney, would you just give us a very quick rundown on the effect of the -10s?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mike Graney from Department of Energy. Currently, there's a public purpose charge on the investor-owned utilities for energy conservation and renewable energy investments. That's 3% of the gross operating revenues. For utility investments beyond that 3%, it's not clear. In fact, it's probably clear that those could not be recovered by the utilities in rates. This allows the utilities to make investments beyond the public purpose charge limit if they want to make those voluntarily, and to if they're prudent, to be able to recover those in the normal PUC rate processes.
And that process is overseen by the PUC?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Committee, any discussion on the -10s?
So this has the R&D language, just to sign those.
No, -14s do.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Has anyone, these amendments are new to me, and I was wondering if anyone has testified as to these amendments, and I know we had 3 weeks of testimony, and I don't recall this issue being brought up in testimony, so I was just curious to know if has anyone testified in favor or opposition to this new amendment.
Well, I don't know if specifically to the language that we have here. I do certainly recall there being testimony or discussion with regard to various ways of getting money back into something like what the public purpose charge would do, for instance, which is a similar theory. But no, the exact language, no.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that this is an issue that the investor and utilities have raised with us and with the PUC, that they would like the flexibility to be able to do.
Not unlike some of the flexibility that we'll talk about in the -14 for the smaller utilities. We have the -10s before us. Are there any objections to the -10s? Seeing none, the -10s are adopted. Senator Pozanski, the last amendment is the dash 14s, if you wouldn't mind moving the dash 14s.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash 14s into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Pozanski moves the dash 14s. Discussion. The dash 14s are kind of the omnibus bill. It includes what were the dash 12s and before that the dash 2s. There are two things in particular that are added to that that I wanted to note. One of them is a section which just trying to find it so we can cite to it. It's a section that relates to the small utilities that allows the small utilities to do two things. One of them is that if they, and it's all based on research and development investments, that if the small utilities invest in research, as an example, the Lincoln PUD investing in wave research on the coast, that investment could be used in two ways. One, it can be used as a cost, counted as a cost toward the 4% cost cap, and the other is that the investment could be used to actually meeting the standard, the percentage of the standard. So it's a way, as the small utilities try and diversify their own portfolios, to get credit in two different ways for having done so. The second is, you remember quite a bit of discussion around the 1% threshold, where any electric utility that is under 1% of the total load generation for the state is exempted from the Act. The dash 14s raise that from 1% to 1.5%. Committee, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, it should be, I need to note, just because in politics you can make no one happy, but when this bill, the concept first started, there were no exemptions. In the very upper reaches, I think we've seen in some of the other amendments, there was the thought of having a 3%. And it has taken, I think, 7 weeks of negotiations or so to get it to a 1.5, plus the R&D language. So just for everyone who's watching and has been part of this, there's a long history to that particular portion of it, and I think it's I think it was well done.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. I said I would find the two sections, and because the dash 14s are different than the dash 12s, my sections aren't corresponding exactly. Mr. Graney, do you by any chance know what the two sections are?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. First, on the 1% to 1.5% change, that's in section 6. It's on page 7 of the bill, down at line 19. For the research and development for the consumer-owned utilities, one of the provisions is on in section 12, I believe.
Page 13.
Yes. Okay. And also on in section 21.
That's right. Sections 12 and 21. Thank you.
I might add, too, there were a number of provisions added that the PUD Association requested technical amendments at the back of the bill that were not in the dash 2 amendments, so that they could be able to comply with the provisions.
Section 21 is on page 23.
Thank you, Senator Pozanski. So that is the dash 14s. Committee, is there any further discussion on the dash 14s? Are there then any objections to the dash 14s? Seeing none, the dash 14s are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pozanski.
I move Senate Bill 838 as amended by the dash 10s and the dash 14s. And this is to the floor or to Ways and Means?
This is to the floor.
To the floor. With a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Pozanski moves Senate Bill 838 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Committee, are there any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Discussion? Senator Beyer.
Thank you. I see we do have a fiscal on the dash twos. I don't know if the fiscal will be changed significantly by the dash 14s versus the dash twos. I guess I would also ask if you need to remove the dash twos from the bill prior to moving it to make the bill technically correct, because they had already adopted the dash two amendments previously. I don't know if you do or not. I'll start with those two questions.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the point. It's my understanding that we don't need to remove the dash twos, that those can be reconciled through legislative council. Actually, let's just have a motion to remove the dash twos, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to suspend my motion that's before us now, and I'm going to make an alternative motion to remove the dash twos from Senate Bill 838.
Senator Pozanski moves that the dash two amendments previously adopted by this committee be removed. Is there any discussion?
Again, Mr. Chair, I hate to be technical, but you may need a motion to reconsider the vote by which we pass the dash two amendments before we can actually remove the dash
That's
two
true.
Amendments.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. I think you're right about that.
Yep.
And even if you're not, it ends up getting us to the same place anyway, so that's fine.
Right.
So moved by Senator Atkinson to reconsider. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? Seeing none, the motion to reconsideration passes. Senator Pozanski?
I move that the committee remove the dash two. Reconsider the vote that we passed the dash two amendments into Senate Bill 838.
Senator Pozanski moves that we reconsider the vote that previously adopted the dash two amendments to 838. Committee, you would be voting affirmatively in order to, in essence, repeal what we had previously done. So when I ask for objections, you will say nothing. Are there any? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Senator Beyer and Senator Pozanski.
No, I don't think we accepted the vote.
No, that we just reconsidered the vote.
Okay.
That did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, my question as to whether or not there will be a fiscal change versus the 14 versus the 2.
I have no information that there will be any significant fiscal impact with regard to the 14s.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Final comment, I guess, colleagues, I appreciate the work. I will not support the motion to move the bill to the floor. I guess we have to have that motion first, don't we?
It was suspended, but I guess now it is not suspended, so it is back before us.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think for the record, let's just go ahead and put it on one more time. I will move the Senate Bill 838 as amended by the dash 10s and the dash 14s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Pozanski, for moving 838 to the floor as amended with a due pass. Senator Beyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I won't support the motion to move this bill to the floor. I also will not support the bill on the floor. Appreciate the work that was done by the chair. I think we had an opportunity to make this bill, and I wish we could have made this bill a bill that I could have supported. Colleagues, I had hoped to be able to support this bill this session. For your information, as the chair would know, I brought up these concepts with him quite a while ago and started discussing, you know, the idea of increasing the percentage and including everything, and unfortunately we didn't get there, so I'll be no.
Thank you, Senator Matt. We're going to go ahead and do a roll call on this, and while you're getting that ready, I want to say as well, I do appreciate the conversations we've had. They've been open, they've been frank, and whether or not one agrees with the end product, we've come to an end product. Like I've said before, at some point we just have to make tough choices and move forward, but I've appreciated the process very much, Senator Beyer. Thank you. Matt, will you call the roll?
Senator Yes.
No.
Aye.
Aye. And with that, the motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pozanski.
On a vote explanation, I supported the amended bill to go to the floor of the due pass recommendation. I do plan on supporting it But I also want to put on the record that I do believe, based on our discussions here today, that I hope that the chair will impress upon the president to have some type of ongoing working group or committee during the interim to look at the issues that were raised during our discussions, specifically with the Dash 5, the Dash 9, and the Dash 13 amendments.
It's a very good suggestion. Thank you, Senator Prozanski. Senators Avakian and Atkinson will co-carry the bill. And with that, we are adjourned. I will close the work session on 8:38, and we are adjourned.